The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Exactly. Because if you are going to discuss it in segments, you know, then you should have some sort of institutional, you know what I mean, understanding of what it is and what it's been. And
Right. Know. That this is not new.
Yeah.
It's
no,
not
I agree
new
with that.
Because
totally.
Everybody's trying to pin that just on Caitlin. Yeah. Oh, they're jealous of her. What? This is crazy.
I agree with that.
These rookie hazings technically been going on for years, man.
Yeah.
At all levels of sport. And it's been going on in the WNBA, but folks are shocked by it because they're watching it now and seeing this out of women.
And I understand the human reaction, too, of the veteran NBA WNBA players who have been playing there for 5, 6, 7 years, and they feel like playing at a high level and nobody cared. And now all of a sudden people care because one person. I understand the human reaction to that, right?
Like, imagine if we were doing a resentment. That's understandable. It's natural.
Imagine if we were doing this radio show and we weren't making any kind of noise and we weren't getting any kind of rings, and then somebody comes in all of a sudden. We're hot. 99's hot.
The same resentment that Isaiah Thomas had towards Michael Jordan there to start his career.
No, it's understandable.
And froze him out of the All-Star
game. You know,
I don't judge
anybody for that.
Yeah.
I don't even the foul wasn't even that bad, bro. Like Chicago Tribune saying that it was assault. I'm like,
that was ridiculous.
Come on, man.
The Tribune went too far.
I think that was them, right? It was the Tribune.
I'm not sure. It's one of the Chicago papers. Might have been sometime. That was referred to this morning. I know Greeny referred to it and thought it was borderline irresponsible of the newspaper to do such. I think he's probably right.
Yeah. It was the Tribune,
yeah, he's probably right, because again, these guys, there have been much harder fouls. Again, go back and look what they did to Candace Parker her first year. We talked about with Jessica right there. Look what they did to Angel Reese earlier in the season, grabbed her by the neck and threw her down. Like, this isn't just happening to Caitlin Clark.
No, it's not.
It's happened for years in this league.
Yeah, it has.
And frankly, we've accepted it in other sports, but we're seeing women do it now because there are more eyeballs on it now, where there's more clutching of pearls.
Yeah, I thought that was just a little much. And that, again, that's. It speaks to the ridiculousness of everything, bro. Like, you had Pat McAfee, then you had the Chicago Tribune saying it's assault. I mean, it's just like, come on, man. We're losing our heads here a little bit.
Right.
And it is.
And I get you being frustrated yesterday by how it's just been taken so far.
I'm going to be frustrated.
McAfee's and everything.
Because I want them to just let my girl hoop, bro. But y'all just trying to, you know, everybody trying to make this about she's the white savior, the white devil, or, you know, we can't just let her hoop. You know,
well, first thing you need to do is get a new coach. Okay, old Sides, there's a movement fire. Is it Christine Sides? Is one of some fire coach Sides? She's struggling.
Yeah.
And then this idea that the Fever have played double the game of the Aces is ridiculous. You've been putting Caitlin Clark and that team out there every other night to get beat
up.
She's
the attraction.
That's why they can't win a game. Mm-hmm. What are they, 2-7 or something? It's not very good.
Yeah, they suck. They suck.
That's why that coach would be the first.
And Caitlin is a part of it. She can't guard.
Well, she only had three the other day.
Yeah, she cannot. And I will say her game is pretty one-dimensional.
Well, keep in mind, I mean, she's coming right off of her college basketball season.
It's weird.
Season
two. You don't even get a training camp, right?
And they are beating her down on a nightly basis, too. Now, here's the thing. Caitlin will give it back to these women, too. Let's not act like she ain't a competitor that gives it right back. And she did to Kennedy in terms of talking that trash and everything else. Like, this, they're competitors, guys.
No question.
And so don't be appalled by seeing competitors go at it.
Yeah, I think it's like we don't have to protect anybody here.
No.
You know what I mean?
Caitlin's okay. She's
gonna
be just fine.
She's a grown woman.
Yeah.
She's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but I do need her teammates to come to her defense.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, they didn't seem like they were very keen on running over there to her and helping her out and backing her up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just 1-on-1, you know? Like, that's just being a teammate 1-on-1. If you see somebody that's...
One of your teammates goes down, you go pick them up, and especially if they've been pushed down by opponent.
That happens every day in the NBA.
I didn't see the teamness, and again, I might go back to old Coach Sides there. We're going to have to get that cleaned out.
Interesting. Interesting. You think it's the coach.
Well, she is. She's a problem.
Where's James Wade? Let's get
James
Wade.
You know, this is like her first year with this team.
Is it?
Yeah, and she's really struggling.
Yeah. James Wade is coaching with the is he with the Raptors?
We looked it up last week. Brad had already identified this. He wants James Wade to be the new coach. He's now with the Raptors, though, so we're going to have to, you know,
Oh, he'd leave for the head job. To coach
Caleb Clark? He got out. He got out after being a champion.
I thought he got fired.
No, I didn't think he got fired. He stepped away is what we found last
week. Oh, he stepped down. Okay, yeah.
Now, that might have been a deal where they framed it.
They were 7-9, but they had been the NBA Finals 2 years, WNBA Finals, and won 2 years ago.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. Yeah, interesting.
We'd have to convince him to come back, and he's already reached the pinnacle. You know,
yeah, but he ain't had a chance to coach Caitlin, though. Come on now.
I mean, bro, she only scored three.
Yeah, but maybe she just needs the right coach to unlock her, bro, to your point.
I would look at the Chicago Sky and say, I want to coach that instead. Go back.
Oh, you would go back to the Sky?
I mean, he can't now, but look at what they did in the draft. They got Angel and Cardozo. We got a huge problem. Now, we lost to the Fever. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to be checking our coach.
Yeah.
I don't know who replaced James Wade.
I was trying to look it up right now. It's Teresa Weatherspoon. That's who it is.
That's right. She's the one that told Kennedy and them to be quiet the other day.
About
Caitlin.
But, like, my whole thing with it is, and I know we're sort of guilty of, like, this thing we kind of hate, right, which is the long, long, drawn-out discussion of Caleb Clark. But, like, Kennedy Carter said yesterday in her press conference that after the basketball game is over, after it's all done, it's all love.
Yeah, she said that yesterday.
But it's not. That's not true.
It is love.
It's not true. She went on Threads and said that all Caitlin brings to the game is three-point shooting.
Dude, that's all you do is shoot the ball. You don't play no defense. I still love you.
Yeah, but I mean.
But I tell it like it is with your basketball game all day long.
Would you do it on social media? Would you do it on social media?
No, that was weak.
Yeah.
Because she said she wasn't taking any questions in the immediate post-game press conference about it.
Yes.
And then you go on to Twitter. And I'm sure some part of her felt like, I've got to respond. Threads, I don't care. Whatever it is. Threads, Twitter, everything else. X.
It was not X. It was Threads.
Threads is not a part of X.
No, Threads is Meta.
That's right.
Can you just sort of get your social in line over there?
Dude, I'm just coming out of shadow ban.
Right. I don't think you actually have. Because when you tweeted to me the other day, it did not show up in my actual feed. Like, it showed up in my for you, but it did not show up in mentions.
I don't know. Again, I don't know what I got to do.
I don't know what you've done or who you've offended over
there. Well, you need to quit faking it. Because now you've spent acting like you're this interested in the WNBA is a front.
This is
fraudulent.
I like some.
Now you're not watching. You don't care this much. You don't at all.
I've watched some games this year. Yeah, I've watched some games.
But you want to call out Kennedy?
I mean, I'm just saying.
You're a fake WNBA fan.
I am definitely
not. You're only here for Caitlin. That's what you're here for.
No, I will say I was betting WNBA before it was cool to watch it. All right? Y'all know I was talking about WNBA last summer.
Yeah, you said it was easy, and then you lost a few, and you got out.
It's hard now. Oh, it's a lot of all these eyeballs.
It got sharper.
Yeah, because of Caitlin. Thanks a lot. Damn.
Yeah, you'll get back out pretty quickly here.
Yeah, I'm not in it at all. I think the Fever are a hell of a fade. They're a great team to fade. You know, because and they're big. They're getting lots of points now.
Yes,
but they're just not good. Okay. They can't guard. I watched a little bit of the Liberty game the other night.
They're awful.
And plus, you said the schedule, the front loading of the schedule. They're playing every other night.
It's literally every other night. They're tired.
They're a friendly fade. There is no doubt about that. But yes, yeah, so I'm not gonna sit around here and act like I go home turn on. And guess what? Nobody else does either. If we're going to be honest. We're going to keep it a buck. Nobody else
does
either.
It's painful. It's painful.
It's more popular. It's growing. There's no doubt about that. But is it appointment television yet? Mm-mm, it's not. Even Caitlin is just, it's sometimes kind of hard to watch. It's like, for her specifically, you know, because she's just shot jacking at this point. What she was doing against the Liberty.
Yeah, she's scared to go in there. She's scared to go inside.
No doubt.
And I would be too, probably, if they were hammering me every time like Jordan rules.
Yeah, well, maybe they need to get some. They need to get some rules. Get some CC rules. I mean.
No, Jordan rules were not done by the league, fool. They were the Pistons. That's how they dirt dog them. The Jordan rules, you dirt dog them every time he gets in the lane. That's what it is, WNBA, but Caitlin Clark right now.
Yeah.
The Clark rule, they're dirt dogging
her. I can't remember.
Anytime she gets in the lane.
I saw somebody say that who is the – is there a WNBA commissioner, or is this just a free-for-all?
It's not Val Ackerman.
Who
I think that's the Big East commissioner. Who is?
I said it's not her.
Engelbert.
Again, I said it's not her.
It's Kathy Engelbert.
And that's why how I identified
that's
her.
That's just a random pool. I just appreciated the pool of the Big East commissioner.
I want to say at one point she was involved.
Okay, she was. Okay, who is it? Kathy Engelbert?
Kathy Engelbert, who
Thank
also
you,
started the new charter flight program for the WNBA, where charter on
No, Caitlin started that.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, Kathy just signed off on it.
The other players, they dismissed that. Caitlin ain't charging nothing getting us.
According to the players, Caitlin ain't done nothing.
She didn't do nothing for us. We was always this good.
According to the rest of the WNBA.
We always been here, John. We've been here.
First president of the league.
Kathy?
Kathy Engelbert.
Val was.
Yes.
Wow. You just thought that was some random reference I come up
Because it was the Big East. It's the Big East commissioner.
She is now.
So she came from the WNBA.
She is best known for being the first president of the Women's National Basketball Association. I give you history, because unlike you and Stephen A.,
you schooled us.
I've been here with McNutt.
You've been here with McNutt. We were the first radio station affiliate to get her on, by the way.
Me, McNutt, and Isaac Simpson have been here the jump.
Yeah.
What a career for Val. That's a hell of a career.
I think she's a Hall of Famer.
Is there anybody else that's been here since the beginning, or is that
maybe
it?
She's not quite a Hall of Famer, but she had had some previous affiliation with WNBA.
Yeah, I think she needs to. I think Kathy Engelbert needs to step in and start intervene with some of these fouls, and say, hey,
you're the problem.
Cut it out.
No, you're part of the problem. You're the clutching of pearls we don't need around Caitlin in the game this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, let's be honest. Caitlin's running this thing. I mean, she's pulling the strings. It's not Kathy.
At 2-8, she pulling strings?
Yeah.
She going to run out of steam, though, playing in this league, it appears.
Yeah, I mean, she's just going to take go take the big three, buddy. Leave the WNBA.
She might want to.
They don't appreciate you. They don't appreciate
you,
Caitlin.
But there's a new league.
Oh, the one that Breonna Stewart's doing?
Unrivaled, I believe it's called.
Yeah. It's 3-on-3, though.
Yeah.
It's not a 5-on-5.
Well, I mean, in Big Three, 3-on-3.
That's true.
That.
Yeah.
This is one done by them.
But
Breonna and them
make more
make sure.
With the Big Three.
I don't know anymore.
Didn't they say they'd give her $700 billion?
I think it's like five.
Okay, $5 million. So go over there. They don't appreciate you in the WNBA. You can go hoop with Tony Allen and Mario Chalmers. That would be fun.
I saw him the other day, Tony, and still in very good shape. Looks like he could pull it off.
Tony Allen?
Yeah.
I'll go ahead. I mean,
he was stealing balls at the Grizzly camps from like 10-year-olds. I saw him like blocking shots from like little kids.
I just like that he's in the community.
Yeah, he's out there.
You will see him out and about, and he's out here and approachable and everything else.
For sure. But yeah, I mean,
Son's getting big too. Had Justin Jefferson jersey on.
Okay, yeah.
Fresh.
Justin Jefferson. Yeah, that's him.
That's the kid's name.
Yeah,
that's the kid's name. Yeah, he's getting big. I mean,
You're taking me back to the AA000G9 days.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Nobody remembers.
That's the best name ever for
a kid. It is a good name.
Yeah. But anyway, if I was advising Caitlin, I'd say just leave. Just walk away and let these folks have it. Let them have it.
That's right.
Your league was fine without me.
Y'all need me.
This is about us, not one person.
Yeah, it's about Angel Reese. This is why everybody's watching. So we'll all watch
Angel
Reese.
Just straightened you out and told you should have listened to the context of that. Quit making Angel Reese.
That's the problem.
Evil queen.
I got to watch the whole thing. I got to watch all 35 minutes of this, all right? I ain't watched 35 minutes of one thing.
No, you're just like McAfee. You fly in, you hot take, you fly back out.
Yeah, but it's like, if you were watching the WNBA in 1996, you'd have known. Yeah. Bro, wasn't nobody watching the WNBA in 1996?
Me and Isaac Simpson were.
All right? That's what y'all... there ain't no way. Where would you have even watched it?
Satellite.
Superbox?
Yeah, bro, Superbox.
Brad.
Y'all are pirating.
Got every game available.
Exactly. I've been covering the WNBA since 1946. I know everything. Well, I know every player that's ever played in the WNBA.
As physical a league as there is out there.
Yeah,
and historically has been so.
Everybody acts like this is damn steel curtain out there, bro. The 85 Bears defense.
I'm really confused. Whose side are you on?
I don't know.
Because it seemed like you started over here.
I don't know
here.
Anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Tell.
Okay, that's the other thing that I really do loathe about it. The WNBA has always been physical. Oh, it's so physical, bro. Okay?
Bro.
Because they miss layups. That's why it's physical.
When we come back, before we do, we need to hit a break. I'm not sure if you remember that. Okay? You got to rust on. During the off time. Go look at Candace Parker and how she was.
Yeah, this is what y'all
go
do.
Go look at.
This is what y'all do.
And then look at what they did to Angel Reese earlier this season.
This is what y'all do. Y'all
this
make
is
me.
More
I got to go do
physical
homework.
Than the actual NFL is now. You can't even hit the quarterback. You understand what I'm saying? It's a much more physical league, and historically,
it's so physical, bro. It's so physical. All right, I gotta
look
go.
What they did to Angel Reese earlier this year—they grabbed her by the neck and threw her down.
No, look, I'm gonna go do my homework. I'm gonna go do a research paper on the history of the WNBA and Val Ackerman, and that way, when I come back, I'll be informed. Is that
you'll have the context necessary?
All right, Dr.
and required.
Dr. Smith, let me get on this. We'll come back. Jason and John, how do you turn it?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Family ESPN.
It's The Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, ESPN, ladies and gentlemen, has broken down all 134 FBS quarterback situations, and they've broken them down into tiers. Anyone interested in where they've got Memphis, Seth Hennigan, and yes, Cade Cunningham.
I'm very interested in where they have Cade Cunningham.
Tier three.
Oh.
Tier one is Alabama's Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson. Again, these are situations, so in most of them they go through, you know, your first and second string, but they've got Georgia's deal with Carson Beck at the top, Dylan Gabriel at Oregon, and then Quinn Ewers, who is on the cover of the EA Sports game from Texas, as well as Arch Manning. They're all tier one. Tier two, Arizona's Noah Fifita. Is that how you say it? Shedeur Sanders. Jalon Daniels out of Kansas. Miami's Cam Warden. And, of course, Cam Rising from Utah. And then you get to Tier 3, and at the top of it is Memphis' Seth Hennigan. You've got Brady Cook from Missouri, who we know well. Played against him last year. Ohio State's Will Howard, Devin Brown, and Julian Sayin. And then Ole Miss's Jackson Dart. So you're in good company to be in Tier 3. Interesting things here they say about Seth. He has 79 career TD passes in three seasons at Memphis. If he just hits his career average this season, he'd finish with 105 for his career, putting him into the top 25 all-time. How about that?
Damn.
That'd be tied with Marcus Mariota.
Wow.
In terms of all-time touchdown passes.
That's insane.
In the history of college football, if Seth just has an average year, again, from a touchdown standpoint, he's going to end up in the top 25 all time. What if he has more than that? And he's in position to have a better than average season.
Yeah.
Right? So they consider him, one of college football's elite, and not just because of the fact that he's coming back as a fourth-year starter. Over the last seven games of the year last year, 6-1.
Yep.
67.4% completions, 8.5 yards per attempt, 21 touchdowns over those last seven games to just two picks. Very good. Averaged 333 yards of offense per game. In his bowl game, he completed 70% of his throws with four TDs against an Iowa State defense that was allowing less than 55% completions and had given up just 17 passing touchdowns in 12 games previously. So all, by all accounts, they're really high, obviously, on Seth Hennigan. And you don't have any problem with him being at three, do you, when I give you the list of the usual suspects, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Texas above him.
Yeah.
Then you got, the fact that he's in there with Brady Cook and Ohio State situation, Jackson Dart out at Ole Miss, I think it speaks pretty highly of what they think of Memphis' quarterback situation, led by Seth.
Yeah, I think Jackson Dart is probably
you
low.
You would go Jackson Dart should be tier two?
Yeah, he's an NFL prospect, right?
He is.
So I think that would probably be the gripe. I think tier three is fair, though. I think I'm not going to get outraged about
it. Okay, and he's at the top of tier three.
Yeah,
so he's right there at the top, just miss out on tier two.
Yeah, bottom of tier two, top of tier three, whatever.
So John and I, we like where they've got Seth Hennigan ranked. Now, maybe you won't like this so much because ESPN has also released its College Football Power Index rating for 2024. Again, it's June 4th. However, it doesn't quite line up with what we've seen in terms of some of these preseason top 25s and some of these best group of five teams that could make the college football playoff list, and I'll tell you why it doesn't jive. They've got Memphis at 66, okay? That's lower than the SP Plus rankings. Again, this is the College Football Power Index. They give Memphis a 17.4% chance, and I should say only a 17.4% chance to win the AAC. They give them a 7.9% chance to make the college football playoff. UTSA, who, as you have pointed out, lost its quarterback, lost a receiver to the NFL, they've got 56, 10 spots ahead of Memphis, UTSA of the American, and a 31.3% chance to win the league. Remember what I said about Memphis and college football playoff? 7.9% chance. They give UTSA 15.6% chance. So almost double what they've given you. Everything we've seen, down to total wins in the AAC, started with Action Network, and then Brad and I went over to FanDuel. Action Network, Brad and I said, got them too low at 8.5 wins. If you look right now, FanDuel's got them at 9.5. That's the lead in the AAC. However, they do have UTSA, I think, at 8.5. And so it's just interesting to me that unlike most of the other analytics going into the season that seem to have Memphis right there at the top of the AAC, and you would think as the odds-on preseason favorite, this football power index has UTSA clearly ahead of Memphis, having to work in a new quarterback, John.
Yep.
And here's the other thing. Not even in second in terms of best chance to win the conference. This is what really threw me off. They give Tulane a 17.7% chance to win the AAC, slightly above Memphis at 17.4. Now, again, Tulane is in that 8.5 win total range that you've seen on some of these sports betting sites, so below Memphis. But yet, this football power index likes UTSA and Tulane better in the American. How is that possible?
I don't know. I can't honestly square it, and I'll be interested to see. I think the FPI is instructive. It's a nice starting point. I don't think it's the end all be all.
No, that's why I like SP Plus rankings. You like Torvik on basketball. I like SP Plus rankings from Conley on college football from ESPN as opposed to these.
Yeah, so I think I'm very curious to see how that lines up in the betting markets. Because I tend to sort of believe those as a reference more, although the betting markets will use the FPI
right
as a starting point as well. I don't know how you get there, honestly. I just don't. I mean, UTSA is having to replace so much. Tulane is having to replace so much. Coach and quarterback. UTSA returns its coach, but it lost an NFL caliber receiver in Cephas.
Cephas, that's
and
right.
Not the father of Tyler, Frank Harris, who had been there forever. It's hard to replace. Hard to replace that kind of production. And Memphis brings back basically all of its production, both on offense and defense. So I think that's the part of it that I'm not there. And if it is priced like that, which I don't think it will be, but if it is priced like that, I will be betting Memphis to win the AAC. If you're telling me that Memphis will not be the favorite, and they could be...
I think, the win totals right now suggest that's the way it's going to go.
Right.
This just dropped.
Right.
Don't know how much it's going to change those win totals. I still think Memphis will be the pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I don't know who what UTSA's out-of-conference schedule is, right? Like, I don't know who they're playing. You pointed out earlier it's 8.5.
I think they're at 8.5. Looked at it this morning, texted it to you.
Yeah, so they play Texas. They're on the road at Texas State. I think that kind of goes into why, that number is maybe a hair lower. And then maybe they have more road games in the AAC. I don't know. I'd have to sort of look into it.
What's great, I mean, all of Memphis' tough, quote-unquote, tough games in the AAC this year are on the road.
Mm. And they still have a higher one.
Mm-hmm.
Still have a higher one total. Yeah, the only
this would lead these football power index ratings would sort of lead you to believe they think that's going to be trouble. They think the FPI.
Yeah,
is it we compared to the other group of five teams that you figure will be at the top of their conferences, the Boise States and the Liberties. Just for a reference point, again they've got Memphis 66 overall. They've got Boise State 48. Remember, Memphis was 17.4% chance to win the AAC. Boise State, 36.2% chance to win the Mountain West, and a significantly higher chance, at least as it states, than Memphis to make the college football playoff as a Group 5 representative at 16.4 to Memphis' 7.9. They are the favorite by the FPI to be the Group of 5 representative. The next up in the Mountain West, Fresno State down at 74. Only an 18.1 chance to win the Mountain West. So they have firmly given it to Boise State. Liberty, 41.5% chance to win CUSA, but only a 9.6% chance to make the college football playoff.
So that's flipped, by the way, in the betting markets.
Has it?
Yes. I mean, like I'm just pointing that out as an example. That is flipped in the betting markets. Liberty is the favorite in the non-Power 5 to make the playoff.
Now, we've seen some lists that have got Memphis, Boise State, and Liberty. You're saying Liberty is the favorite on some books.
Yeah, Caesars has them 2-1. Memphis was 9-1. Boise 8-1.
Okay.
So I don't know how they you know get there. Maybe they just think that they'll if
an undefeated
exactly.
season for them.
They really think
and you would
that
take the
Liberty's
zero
gonna
basically.
Go undefeated. I mean, it seems very hard to do.
Again, this has them only a 9.6% chance. That's lower right. than Memphis again. No, excuse me, lower than UTSA, lower than Boise State significantly. Memphis is at 7.9.
Oh, so Liberty's bringing back their QB, huh?
Yeah, Liberty's got a good shot to go undefeated.
Damn. Caden Salter, 32-6 last year.
The question is that conference going to be strong enough to justify them being over a one-loss Boise State or a one-loss Memphis team? That's going to be the question.
Undefeated, yeah,
if they're undefeated,
yeah, I think so. I don't think the AEC is going to be that damn good. Do you? I mean, it's not much different, right? I mean, they play East Carolina, right? Liberty does, I'm saying. Liberty plays East Carolina.
Well, they have nothing in conference.
Yeah, I mean, they
that's what
Sam Houston
them.
And West.
Remember, it's going to be highest ranked, right? Highest ranked group of five champions.
And if they're undefeated, they will be the highest ranked, don't you think?
Probably.
I mean, I don't know.
Unless Boise State is knocked off Oregon or Memphis is knocked off Florida State.
Like, to be honest,
to your point.
To be honest, the new format almost is repressive in some ways because it disincentivizes you, if you're Memphis, to stop scheduling. You know, it disincentivizes you to schedule big-time teams. You know what I mean? I mean, why would I do that? Why would I schedule a Florida State?
Don't do that.
Or an Arkansas in my non-conference when my best path is to be undefeated?
Well, again, you're scheduling 5-6 years ahead of time in college football.
No, it's true. I'm just saying
And this is just, we have 2 years of making the college football playoff that we know
of. Is that it? And then it's getting renegotiated?
Undetermined. It's okay. At this point, it's undetermined.
So. Gotcha. But don't you agree, though? Like, I mean, if you were running Memphis.
If you buy what they bought last year is the Group of Five representative last year was an undefeated Liberty team from out of that or whatever it was. If you buy that, that's still going to hold up in the rankings. But that conference is not good.
Right. Well, the AAC sucks, too, though.
Here's my thing. Mountain West technically will be better analytically.
That's true.
Because all of those teams get to play the two Pac-12 schools.
That's true.
And so if you get a strong one-loss team out of there, that's coming out of a significantly better conference.
Right.
And you're telling me if their only loss, let's just say they got one loss and Liberty has none. You're going to tell me that you're giving it to a Liberty team whose conference is way worse just because they're undefeated? I mean, last year they went with that.
This is the Florida State argument, right? I mean, you know, this is sort of what you saw, and they got left out. I mean, they got left out of the playoff.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, schedule's got to matter. So
a little different.
Yeah, I would keep going the route I am.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would say, like, again, if I was arguing that, I would say, well, that if I think the Mountain West is a much better league, I think I'm saying it's going to be a lot harder to only lose one game.
Well, it is. They're going to eat
you know?
Each other up.
Yeah.
There's a possibility
so, like,
they will.
I think the AAC absolutely sucks. So I think if I...
You need Memphis to come out of the AAC undefeated this year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
For your best shot,
absolutely.
Obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't lose a game in the AAC and
but
get in.
There's a better chance of doing that than Boise State coming out of the Mountain
West
undefeated.
Yes. I'm more so talking about a scheduling strategy where, okay, yeah, like because we've said we need home and homes. We need two for ones.
Right. I get what you're saying, but like, that only works if there's always a college football playoff spot for you.
And we don't know the answer.
I don't think there will be down the line.
And you're right. You do have to sort of make these decisions 5, 6, 7 years
yes.
out.
Yes.
So you probably just do it, you know?
I mean, right. We have Arkansas coming up here down the
right,
line.
Right.
That was done, what, 2 years ago, year ago?
Now, look, if you win.
If you win it, then it's prime position. And
yeah.
It gives you an edge.
And it's like, oh, they beat so and so.
And that will matter in the ranking.
But that's very hard to do. I mean, I don't know. What the number will be against Florida State, but I assume it will be certainly.
It's going to be double digits.
10.5, 13.5.
They got Uyunglele.
Yeah, and I think Norvell will do wonders with him.
Probably.
But, yeah, I mean, you're going to be probably 2-touchdown underdog, I would think.
Memphis is ranked too low in this thing, and they're too high on UTSA. Mm. Now, Tulane went out and got him. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he's a pretty high-profile quarterback transfer out of the portal.
Oh, really?
And they do have a new coach, like you said, but I'm pretty sure they got a pretty high-profile guy out of the portal that they're high on. And that's part of the reason why they're so up there in terms of win total.
Ty Thompson.
That's him. Where'd he come from?
Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, it's not going to be a fall-off for them. And then Traylor must have something in terms of replacing Frank Harris that this FPI believes is going to be legitimate to give them such a significant, you know, bump over Memphis in terms of AAC championship.
Yeah, as of March, the story in San Antonio Express News was UTSA searching for his successor as spring opens. So, I mean, they're...
It's still up for, in terms of the guys they got there.
Yeah.
Nobody's, yeah, hadn't
that's
won the
a,
job.
I mean, that's
sure.
a hard one.
They're not for sure.
It's
again, it's so much higher than Memphis, 31.3% chance. And here's the one thing I will throw
in. It's a quarterback competition.
With Memphis's defense last year, and we talked about how even with the great performance against Iowa State in the bowl game, you were still in the hundreds last year, 111 or whatever it was at SP Plus. And we had talked about Bill Conley had done the new SP Plus rankings post-spring and had Memphis's offense a step above last year's, ninth in the country. Last year they finished 10th, but remember last year they were 111th in defense. And he projected a jump of like up to 102.
Right.
It has to be better than that.
Yes.
And maybe because of what the SP Plus has got. Remember, you brought in guys like Elijah Herring, the leading tackler at Tennessee and everything else. But maybe because that predicted jump is so minuscule on defense is what they're getting knocked on here in FPI. It will be, I mean, dude, you could almost just go out there and burp. And you'd think it'd be better than last season. Brad and I've talked
Absolutely.
About it. We talked about it with you. You just got to get to solid. Just get to average. Even if it's below average, just don't be that bad.
Right.
And if you're not, if the defense is holding up its end to go with this, what should be high-powered offense, you're going to blow all these FPI ratings out of the water. You'll be in position to be, you know, not just winning the American, but hopefully highest-ranked Group 5 team.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think I'm pretty high on Memphis this year, to be honest.
Well, you should be. It's actually a pressure-packed year.
It is.
You run on a strike while the iron's hot.
But you're going in with, you know, bazookas. I mean, you got the firepower this year. So if you don't get it done, you have no excuses. It's just that simple, right? As opposed to, you know, trying to make something out of nothing. You got it all there for you. You couldn't ask for a better situation to line up.
Oh, I can hear it all now. Well, the three toughest games in the AAC were on the road.
No, that ain't going to come from me. I don't know who that's going to come from, but it ain't going to come from me. I mean, to me, this league sucks.
And I don't want to hear people throwing this FPI thing back in my face either. We have to go down to UTSA or whatever else. You need to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, no excuses.
There are no excuses.
I mean, this has got to be the year. I mean, it's absolutely a proving ground season for both coaches over there.
And I'm getting the sense that Rock Taylor is your favorite Tiger.
Dude, I love Rock.
Still,
yeah,
that still be. This is still Seth Hennigan.
No, I love Rock.
You used to be a real Seth Hennigan fan.
He's been a monster. He's been a monster at Memphis. I love watching him play. So yeah, I'm a big Rock guy.
Your boy Blankensee, not to be called Tecumseh.
Yeah.
Will be back.
Yeah.
With Rock, and it forms one of the best duos in the AAC.
Yeah, I like Tecumseh. There's no question about it. He's a.
You put some respect on his name, then Damar.
I know, but it's Damir.
Damir Blankensee.
We
apologize.
He will from here on out be known as
disrespecting your last name,
Damar,
and I just disrespect
Hamlin
your first.
Tecumseh.
Yep.
Remember when they ran a fake punt with Damar Hamlin? I mean, that was really something that they decided to do that in a playoff game against the Chiefs.
Look, man, I've had a very concise breakdown
you
of
have.
The Memphis football situation.
You've done a great job.
Don't try to mess me up here at the end.
You want some trivia? Damir Blankensee finished last season with 53 receptions.
Seven touchdowns. Got it.
And 901 yards.
I know. Put that with Rock and you got almost like 2,000, don't you? 1,800 or something? 1,900?
How perfect is that he finished with 901? That's pretty awesome.
Oh, no. I didn't listen to the end there. 901.
901 yards.
What a nugget.
That's special. That's a special thing.
Let's call him by the right name.
Damir Blankensee.
Right. We'll do it all year long.
He came on.
He earned it.
Strong.
He did.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, don't forget about the, what is it, the white kid?
Oh, yeah.
Kobe Drake.
Kobe Drake, yeah.
Caught very important.
The Caitlin Clark of AAC
football. He's back now. He could be mixed. I don't know.
I think he's.
Don't want to be off.
Yeah.
Looks white.
I think he's white, yeah.
And was very critical. He was like our Edelman. Yeah, very possession guy, finds the open spot in the end zone. He's back, too, if I'm not mistaken. Got them all back, bro.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah, I mean, that's it. And again, that's impressive. Yeah, I mean, Kobe Drake, he's definitely white. I mean,
you called him Kobe Drake. Why do you do this to Memphis receivers?
I don't know. I don't know.
Put some respect on it.
That was just a slip.
Respect.
You know, Tecumseh is just like, I just kind of put a nickname on it. I can't explain it. But yeah, Kobe Drake is coming back. He said one last time. So,
yeah, he was critical. Critical.
He was.
Down the stretch.
I mean, your offense should be ridiculous.
Yeah, tell me about it. You got the South Carolina running back to go with Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mario Anderson.
We still got five, the running back, Sutton Smith.
I
think he's five. You line him up all over the field.
You really got everything you need. I mean, truly. New defensive coordinator, you know?
That's where the key is. And you got Chandler Martin and Elijah Herring side by side in that linebacker core should be pretty good. The questions are in the defensive backfield, as we talked to Jonah Dillon about.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited. As I said, I think Memphis football is probably the safest bet.
You did write that.
Of the Memphis sports scene in 2024. Not to say that, you know, I don't think the Grizzlies or the Tigers basketball.
Is it? I'll push back and say, Dave, he's never won big if we're talking about the American.
I mean, he won 10 games last year.
If we're talking about the American, he's never finished better than third.
Yeah, I mean.
You have to say he's never made the title game.
That's the same thing you'd say.
So you're betting on him?
Well, I guess Penny finished second with Kendrick. He did have a second place finish with Kendrick.
Well, and we won the damn AAC title.
Well, AAC tournament for football.
It's the title game, bro. That's what that is
football. You got to get to
second. We ain't never made it.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
That's got to happen. You're betting that it will, obviously, when you call them the best bet.
But if you had to get to if you could only get to the AAC basketball tournament by finishing the top two, that would have only happened one time under Penny. So it's a very different format. I'm just saying the production is very similar. If we're just going to totally call it, Silverfield and Penny are basically identical in terms of what each has achieved as coach.
Yeah.
I mean, Silverfield won against Iowa State in the Liberty Bowl. I think that's a tournament win. That's a tournament win against Boise State.
It may as well be Penn State, according to you.
No, I'm saying, though, like, do you think a Boise State win in the tournament is worth more than
It's not just a Boise State win. It's also an almost win against FAU that you don't count, and it's also an AAC tournament title that you had to go win.
I don't think almost wins are going to go in the record.
You have not even made the AAC title game under Ryan Silverfield.
And that is
time saying it's equal. I'm with you that Penny is not there. He is, to this point, dude, one tournament win 6 years? No.
Right.
If you go seven without just one, with one tournament win, not enough. I mean, Josh had more.
Yeah.
But I'm having a hard time with it's equal.
I mean, it's not far off.
You want to take that Iowa State. Who was playing for Iowa State in that damn game?
I think everybody.
That doesn't feel like it.
I think everybody played. I mean, wasn't Iowa State the favorite?
I'm not a
big favorite.
I'm sure they were. They're the freaking Power 5 team.
Right.
In that game.
Just wiped the floor with them.
At their home field.
Dude, that was a neutral site game. That was a bowl game. I mean,
Jordan Hankins.
Okay, do this. The best thing.
They had nothing to see. We Jordan flipped Hankins. The defense. You realize we ran what Bill Belichick used to run with the Giants.
Yeah, it was
the They had never seen it.
That's how I got the
game. We still finished 111 on defense last year, is my point.
No question.
It was a slap in the face
for y'all. All right, what's the best thing?
I'm just saying. I can't believe you're pushing this hard.
Penny has done with Memphis back. Like, what's the best, the high point?
Unfortunately, it's just one tournament win.
Right.
And AAC tournament title.
Okay.
Because you remember who you beat to do it. That's important.
Houston.
Yes.
Yes, Houston. You
a real brand. Houston.
No Sasser, but still.
Still, that's fine.
Yeah.
You're going to throw in every nugget.
No, I'm just
to
saying.
Bring that. All I'm giving you that. I'm not putting Penny way above Ryan here.
Right.
What I'm saying is not equal, no.
What in the high
Because you're trying to make Iowa State NCAA tournament and a conference tournament title. You're trying to make that equivalent. It's not.
Yeah, I mean.
It was a great accomplishment. And it set you up for a great season this year, in a way.
Yeah, not
finishing with 10 wins.
I'm not trying to, like, really pit them. Like, I'm really
but I don't think it's equal.
I mean, I think you give Ryan the edge for his roster management, the fact that he's definitely been able to maintain more players and more continuity. I mean, there's none, right, on the basketball side. Now, I would agree with you that a tournament win probably does hold a little more weight than a meaningless bowl game, although it was a destruction. I think that has to be factored into the
equation.
You
want to tell me how many first downs Memphis had compared to Iowa State in that game?
I think we heard you give Memphis
like a breakdown.
I believe you called it a near miss against FAU. You know, that was – so that was
– Bro, that was our chance.
I know it was.
You know how close. Don't just move. They should have been there. But there's a chance to make a Sweet 16 run that year.
That's a bad memory.
But my point, that's a good team right there. That wasn't a crap team as a team that could have made the Sweet 16.
Totally unlucky. Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, but, you know, do you get credit for the near – I mean, they
– No, it's not credit.
You also left off the halftime lead against Gonzaga. I'm a little disappointed before Drew Timmy went Bill Walton on your ass. I mean, rest in peace to the great Bill Walton.
The 20-point loss to South Florida – remember they walked.
Oh, we don't even.
Well, they walked. I said 20-point loss. They walked you down.
Yes.
They were down 20. The loss to Rice.
The 5-game losing streak this season, and then you lost to Wichita State in the.
There is no doubt. It brought us back in a little
bit.
Ryan was catching up right there.
Agreed.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not equal yet, though. Not equal yet.
I mean, I think it's.
Can we get to the AAC title game?
If they don't, then it's
non-negotiable.
If they don't get to the AAC title game this year. There is no doubt that the Ryan Silverfield tenure is effectively, in my view, doomed. That's just how I feel about it. If you can't do it with this group, you're never going to do it.
Will there be an appetite?
Oh.
No.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, with the roster. Now, again, NIL, I don't know. Like, I honestly, I have no idea.
We don't need to go there because, frankly, I want Ryan Silverfield to seize
this. But I think he has to know that. He has to know.
Well, that's why he's not ducking the expectation.
No,
he's not. He knows that he has to win the AAC title.
I would rather go into battle with the absolute best, you know, artillery, knowing that if I lose, I am probably done, as opposed to going in with, like, you know, old Russian artillery that may backfire on me, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not having any expectations. Like, I would rather have all the new shiny stuff, all the money, and live with what I do or don't achieve, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to the alternative. And I think that's got to be how he thinks. But, yeah, if you can't win this league, it's really the same thing I feel about Memphis basketball. If you can't win the AAC, we're assuming they find a replacement for David Jones, right? If you can't win this version of the AAC, like, how are you ever going to do it?
Yeah, no, I
think they're really walking down the same path, both coaches.
Well, Brian's got much more momentum right now.
He does.
Even though I agree with you.
And that's a credit to the job that he has done in keeping his players, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's shut a few of us up.
Yeah.
He's done that. It's a credit to him.
But look, here's the thing. It's not like, you know, it's hard for Penny to capture momentum here either. I mean, you replace David Jones. You've already got Power 5 transfers. You know, you win a league. You win a tournament game. Is it ideal? Is it the best thing ever? No, but you could sell that to a fan base.
I mean, you were just we were giddy around here. We thought he had done it.
Exactly.
Let's be real.
I mean, they were 15-2.
You were calling Joe Biden to talk about how underranked Memphis was.
Hell yeah.
At that point.
Oh man.
It's a national travesty.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yeah. I was ready to get in front of the embassy.
Does Silverfield ever get you giddy like that?
No.
Not yet.
No.
See, and that's why it's not quite equal.
Now, that's a good point. The highs have been higher for Memphis basketball. Yeah.
But I'm with you in the end.
But the lows have been lower.
The lows in the end, lower. Win your conference.
That's true of Ryan.
Non-negotiable for both of them.
That's true of
both of them.
That's true of Penny. It's true of the baseball coach. Memphis baseball hasn't been to the tournament since 2007.
He's got to clean out the quitters first.
I looked that up, by the way. I was like, I was watching the College World Series. I was like, when's the last time Memphis has been in it? And it's been since 2007. They've only been four times in program history. How about that?
Need to put a baseball and a bat in DJ's hands.
It's too painful. It's painful.
I mean, should we should be better than that, right? Or no? There's no reason.
I don't think so. Everybody here is going to the SEC. You know?
Right.
It's just.
You know who's killing it right now?
In college?
No, baseball? In baseball, period. Brent Rooker.
Oh, yeah, we saw it.
Bro, he's like one of the best home run hitters in baseball.
Brad, what was it? Two home runs in the same inning?
Yeah.
One of only 60 men to have ever done that.
How is that possible? They just went
everybody
the entire
came around, and he homered twice in the same inning.
That's crazy.
Your boy Brent Rooker has taken off.
Yeah, man.
He's all-star last year. He's cemented now.
That's crazy how
he's
goes.
He's among the league leaders in home runs.
That's because, I mean, he was like, he flamed out with the Twins, you know, and everybody was like going at him, you know, I think he was with the Padres last year.
That was the A's last year. The Padres?
So he was with – okay, so it was 2 years ago – 3 years ago it was the Twins. 2 years ago it was the Padres and Royals. And then last year he got with the A's.
And made the All-Star game.
Yeah. Yes. But that's
we had them on. They're fantastic.
But that's baseball, right? Like, baseball is crazy like that where you can go – you know, you can cycle through teams and then
failure sport.
You just got to get on the right one and maybe, you know, you, I don't know. I don't know.
Got to be set up right. It's just it's one of those sports.
Or you can find it at an older age in baseball, right?
Strange.
Find your stroke and everything else in terms of your swing and all that. You can find it a little bit later in baseball.
Yeah, because he was hitting 160 with the Royals.
There you go.
And then he went to 246 last year with 137 games played, and he's at 48 games played, 175 at bats this year. He's hitting 280. I mean, he's crushing
the
it.
Average
oh my
is
God.
Going up.
49.
Too.
Does he have? He's got like.
Is it 49 RBI?
He's got 39 RBI. 16.
39 RBI.
His OPS
how many home
is
runs now.
He's got 12, which is tied for 15th.
12
that's
homers.
That's excellent.
He's hitting 280.
Crushing the ball. Yeah.
His OPS 921, which is 10th in the majors.
Man, he is playing well.
That's the second straight All Star season for him.
Tied for fifth in that league.
Is that All Star? Numbers?
No question. They're higher than he's batting. His batting average is higher than what it was last season. He made the All-Star game last year.
Yeah.
But what his homers, though, how does that compare?
It's 15th is where it's at in the league right now, 15th.
He's fine, bro.
He's close.
He's going to make it.
Yeah, you're right. His OPS,
his OPS
is higher.
Yeah,
his slugging percentage
fielder.
Is higher. His
his average
OBP
is higher,
higher,
obviously.
Yeah.
Everything's
you're
higher.
Exactly right. No, he was 246
last year.
Now he's 280.
You know, and he's not that old. He's only 29.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It can come later in baseball. It's still young in baseball.
Yeah, that's young enough. I mean, you got – now, for hitting, it's obviously different. But, I mean, the Cardinals will sign him. Hell, they'll sign him. If you're 49, they'll sign you.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got 39 RBI. He had 69 all last year.
Yeah. And he's not playing well.
I just like that you're saying RBI, not RBIs.
Good for him.
It shows
man.
You just how what a true baseball guy you are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. You can't play with me on that.
No, you're studied.
But no, I mean, Brent Rooker was one that should have been at Memphis. There's no doubt about it.
You can't keep those guys from going to the SEC. That's my point. And I don't know that that'll ever change.
Probably
the transfer portal, like you thought it was bad in basketball. Baseball, no seniors in high school are seeing high majors.
We used to say the same thing about Memphis football. It's different now with NIL and everything else you do.
Yeah.
Chance at a college football playoff. Still an uphill battle to recruit against the SEC. Obviously, you're going to lose most of them. But now SEC guys are literally coming to Memphis. And Memphis baseball ain't offering enough NIL to keep these local products from going to the SEC. Where, by the way, you're going to go to the College World Series and maybe win the whole
thing. The interesting thing about the SEC in college baseball is they're the dudes that just happen to not go pro. Like, if you didn't get drafted or you're on the edge, maybe you did get drafted.
So it's all the best that are still
it's
left in college baseball.
The best dudes.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they're getting paid. And they're getting paid. And then the JUCO guys are getting paid. So, like, Memphis, and especially since for Memphis, that's their third sport, right? Maybe fourth.
Yeah,
I mean, they might be behind soccer, for God's sakes. Hell, I don't know.
It should be. I mean, it should be behind women's soccer. It's probably fifth. It's probably behind women's soccer,
women's
basketball.
It might be fifth in that university.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough job. It's a tough job.
It's a tough gig, man. Yeah, there's no
doubt about it. How is Carrick doing, by the way, at Missouri?
I think he's figuring that thing out.
You know, transition season.
Right.
I don't think he killed it.
Yeah, tough job. Probably.
But he's good because he's got his old former boss up there and Laird now.
Yeah.
And they'll give him plenty of time to build it.
Yeah. But listen, it all sets up what I think is definitely for both programs on campus, the major programs on campus, it sets up a super fascinating season that will, I think, maybe in some ways illustrate the success, you know, the future success of each, you know, because if they can't do what they have to do.
All right, I'd argue it's the most important season in the history of Memphis football, period. And then with basketball. You know, for Penny Hardaway's tenure,
it's more for him. It's more individual.
Just right, exactly for his.
Who would have thought we'd be comparing those two as closely as we are, though?
I think Penny kind of slowed down quite a bit last year, unfortunately, with the way that thing just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Sofield, obviously, in a season where we were saying can't beat SMU, couldn't get to the title game.
Right.
The way he finished put him in position here to maybe pass Penny at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know, and John might be right that it's closer to equal than it is Penny having still a lead on him, but Ryan has made up big time ground.
He's set up for it, though. That's why this FPI thing makes no sense to me.
Agreed. Memphis too low in it. That's sort of where we started with this. Appreciate that sort of circling.
Yeah, I mean, the sub 500 seasons definitely tank Silverfield's.
I know, question, yeah, bro. Just the overall
two straight
period.
Three and fives.
Is that what the analytics are looking at when that FPI is that low? They're looking at historicals on that, on him or on that program?
I mean, perhaps. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
I think they're looking at what your defense did last year, which was next to nothing until the bowl game. And again, you were literally one of the worst defenses in college football. If you have decent improvement there, you'll be above the UTSAs and everybody that they've got ahead of you right now. And it's just weird because it's this one college football power index. All the other analytics we've looked at, all the other sports books we've looked at have got Memphis ahead. It's just with this one ESPN college football power index where they've got Memphis not just behind, but significantly behind UTSA and Tulane, which is not going to happen. They'll be the preseason
pick.
Don't
think so. All right, hey, we'll come back. Got a little bit of an update on Arthur Kaluma and Memphis' pursuit of him. Nick Friedell is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the NBA Finals, which kick off on Thursday. Porzingis cleared. He's going to play. We have that news today. So we'll talk about all that with him at 1:25. Jason and John, on Eternal FM, ESPN.